Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/shark.
Hello and welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is MFF co-writer and former Mr. New Jersey Teenage Hack Squat champion, John Levengood.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't sound anything like John Lazabeth.
Yeah. Sorry. So you might realize it's just going to be the two of us today because John Lazabeth and the Shark Dropper crew, they came down with the 28 Days Later Rage Vilers, and they are currently looking for Australian women to bring back their hearts and turn them back to life, like in Warm Bodies. So they're out there. Yeah. So they're out there hoping that, like, you know, something will bring them back.
You just picked two of the most intriguingly stylistic zombie movies and just mashed them together.
You know, I was thinking about Warm Bodies, like they all come back to be humans. But like those people have been shot, stabbed, like their bodies just gelled, like their organs stopped working. Like, what's it going to be like when they turn human again? Is it like, I guess it's maybe magic, right? The magic just goes flip and makes them normal.
But, I don't know, but remember Robert Corddry in that? Like, yeah. He's always communicating with Nicholas Holt with grunts and stuff. It's like, I kind of liked his very, like, soulful, humanized grunts. Like, yeah. There was a lot behind those grunts. I wouldn't want to hear him talking.
He was really good in that movie, actually. It was, like, soulful. But I just worry about, like, and I was also thinking, like, he's been in the same clothes for, like, years, and he's running around with this lady. Like, I guess you just got to not think about the smell and, you know, the stab wounds and then the gun wounds, you know, because like when he comes back, like his body is literally gelled. Like it's just muck inside of him. And now he's a human. Well, good luck, Shark Dropper guys. And John, we hope you find these people to make you human again. Let us know how, you know, it affects your organs. And we'd love to hear from you. So
we hope they don't die.
It's John's topic this week, so being that it is John's topic, I have the listener questions. So our first listener question comes from Chris Kelly, and it says, what movie are you not looking forward to in 2016, but you're going to watch anyway?
Oh, I mean, so there are a lot of movies that really kind of make that list. Like, I'm sorry to say it, like, I do not think that World of Warcraft will be a good movie. I think that I will like it, and I'm definitely going to watch it, but that's not my pick. Because the movie that I know for a fact is going to be awful is Gods of Egypt, and I am definitely going to go watch that just so that we can talk about it on the show.
Yeah, that movie looks painful.
I mean, we see all these articles going around, like on Reddit and Movie Pilot and everything, about how the makers of Gods of Egypt are apologizing for whitewashing the cast of a movie about Egyptian gods and Egyptian worshippers. Everybody's white. Everybody in that movie is white.
You know what kills me though? It's like, it's a good director. Alex Proyas is directing it. He did like Dark City, The Crow. I mean, he managed iRobot, but this guy has a vision. Dark City, you get a free pass for life. So, I mean, it's like I was watching this and I'm like, what? Like, but then I like those little snakes and I think it's like a total whitewash Egypt. But you're right. I'm going to watch it anyway because it's going to – I hope it's like – it won't be Jupiter Ascending, but I hope it's just like a bonkers – you know what I'm worried about? Like that Wrath of the Titans movie, when I watched it, I felt zero emotions. I just felt bad for it. Well, the only thing I felt about that movie was – they kept telling the humans to hold the line against the gods. And it's like, what line are they going to hold against Zeus? You know what I mean? Like, hey, it's Poseidon. And then you look at your 50 soldiers to your right. Hold the line. If I was a soldier, I'd be like, what? Like, I would run. I would take off. I would not hold the line if I was that soldier.
And then, of course, you know, they're saying hold the line. And then, like, there are those, like, there were a handful of titans that all looked the same. They were, like, they had two heads, four arms, remember?
Yeah.
And they're, like, 18 feet tall with their giant swords. And they were mowing – it really looked like a cave troll knocking down bowling pins.
It looked like one of those rotary mowers that you just push, like, going over grass.
I mean, it was terrible. Those poor people. I mean, granted, I very much enjoyed the special effects in that movie, and it's going to be the same with Gods of Egypt. But the only thing I really felt in that movie was disappointment.
And like, yeah. And so for me, my pick is Superman versus Batman, colon, Dawn of Justice, which is they've given away everything in the trailer. You have Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Lex Luthor. You have Cyborg. You have The Flash. You have Aquaman. You have Gary. Wait, no. You have who's Batman's butler? Alfred. You have Lawrence Fishburne. I mean, it's like the first one didn't even fit in enough of like characterization for Superman. And now they're adding 50 new characters. And then the big reveal they gave away in the trailer where they're like, oh, hey, we're going to introduce Doomsday, but he just looks like a CGI ogre. And I guarantee 99% of the population was like, who is this guy? And then 1% was like, oh my gosh. Sorry guys. I'm a Batman fan. I shouldn't have done that.
So wait, hold on. Now you're making legitimate criticism that yes, they have, they're showing us everyone who's in it. I mean, there might be a couple little surprises, but they gave away most of them, right?
Yeah.
But that aside, do you believe that this will not be a good movie, or are you more criticizing that your movie experience is going to be a little
less?
I don't think
it'll be good. I think Zack Snyder is trying to do Christopher Nolan light. So he's trying to mimic Christopher Nolan. It was like Super 8 where J.J. Abrams was trying to like capture Spielberg magic. So he's trying to do a Nolan movie with his aesthetic. And what he has – doesn't really excel at a lot is like creating these really, I mean, Dawn of the Dead, he did it. I liked. And then he also did that in 300, but I didn't like Man of Steel. I thought it was just boring. I thought it was like overly serious. I thought the battle scenes were two CGI blobs punching each other, a lot of product placement. And then this one, it's like they already gave away the plot. I mean, I knew what it was going to be, but I just don't like, I guess for me on principle, I'm going to pay to watch it anyway, but I just hate that all this is being shoved down our throats.
All right, look, it's going to be way better than Superman 4, where he fights Nuclear Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Long fingernails.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what, though? Like, I don't know. I just don't – if you think about, like, Dark Knight, Unbreakable, Iron Man, there's one villain, basically. You know, there's a little bit more. But, like, you just – you lose track of character in this. How are there going to be characters in this? This is meant to, like, just be a spinoff machine, and that doesn't really work out that well. So, yeah, that's my movie I'm not looking forward to. And the next question comes from Jeff DeCook, and it says, who is the worst henchman? Who is the most ineffective henchman that you can think of?
So for me, I'm really – people are going to get mad at me, and I was almost mad at myself for thinking of this, but this is a legit opinion. Just trust – Boba Fett. Boba Fett.
Yeah.
When you see him on screen, he looks menacing when he's getting hired to, like, you know, go get the good guys, because he's just standing there with all his cool gear and he looks cool and he has the weird voice. But when it actually comes to the action scenes, like when they're trying to execute Luke Skywalker and push him into the Sarlacc pit, like in that action scene, Boba Fett is just like a bumbling fool. He's doing everything wrong. He's literally like clumsy, like a nearly blind guy basically gets him to misfire his little like wrist harpoon, and then he has like this jetpack malfunction, and he ends up going to the Sarlacc pit going he's just like a total chump.
But it wasn't his fault though. Han got lucky.
No, but even before that, he was – nothing about him seemed skilled except for the equipment that he was wearing.
You know who I blame? The costume designer.
Maybe, but I mean he's supposed to be this intergalactic bounty hunter.
But if you think about it, he's a smart bounty hunter. Like all he does is basically follows the garbage. You know what I mean? And then he takes a little thing to Jabba. Maybe he works smart and not hard. You know what I'm saying? And so maybe he's not used to fighting Jedi and stuff. He's just used to kind of capturing his prey because they're dumb.
That could be, yeah. Maybe he's used to like poisoning them and he didn't get that chance in the Star Wars movies. But as far as like physical confrontation goes, Boba Fett in the original trilogy, well, he wasn't even in the first movie, but in the original trilogy though, Boba Fett, hand-to-hand, or even just general physical combat, sorry, not chasing you in his little, like, his little tiny spaceship, very effective.
He's great at tailing people. Like, he would be great in those movies where, like, he would be good in The French Connection, because all Gene Hackman does a lot of footwork, like, trailing people. Like, I think Boba Fett would be great at that.
And in the new trilogy, though, in the prequel trilogy, they made Boba Fett, like, you know, he was quick. He thought quick on his feet.
Oh, wait, Jango Fett, because Boba Fett was the son.
Oh, shit, you're right. I'm sorry. I totally pulled a Star Wars faux pas there.
Somebody was just screaming. I think I heard a head pop at my next door neighbor's house.
Our listeners, this is pre-recorded, but a live list, like, some of our listeners, like, literally just, like, their ears were burning, even though we haven't released this yet.
Somebody, yeah.
But that's my pick, is Boba Fett.
So mine is Vernon Wells, Bennett from Commando. Because
wait, you wrote a whole article about him, didn't you?
Yeah, a sock stuffed with marshmallows.
If he was Mr. Olympia, you were just describing his physique.
Yeah, so like somebody on set called him a sock stuffed with marshmallows, and Arnold Schwarzenegger refused to do action scenes with him because he would just go way too hard at Arnold because he was trying to prove something. But I'm more talking about like the character himself. Like, he was like the least muscular. He showed up on set not muscular at all, and he's sitting here having these like knife bat. He has this weird mustache. He has like a chain link thing over his body. He wears a sleeveless shirt. You know, Kurt Russell would be angry at him. And he's just like this skinniest blob of a henchman that is in no way like a physical threat.
He's got like skinny arms and a fat torso.
Yeah, and like he does this stupid knife fighting. He's like, yeah. And he's just the softest sock stuffed of like marshmallows. He was much better in Mad Max, but I mean, he was just the worst. And like, I watched it again recently, and I'm just like, there's a scene in Taken 2 where Liam Neeson battles this like kind of pudgy guy. No, you know, I'm not saying that. Like that's bad. But I mean, he's battling this guy that's not fit. That is. And it's like the most fair fight ever. If you watch like Quantum of Solace, at the end of it, Bond battles this guy with an axe who's never swung an axe in his life. And then so like this guy's like really trying to be overly tough. So my thing goes to Bennett from Commando. You guys just look at pictures or go to Movies, Films, and Flicks and type in a sock stuffed with marshmallows.
Well, the other thing is that this guy who's – I mean, if you were to like get a tape measure like at a bodybuilding competition or something, if you were to measure – Bennett's bicep versus Schwarzenegger's bicep. So Schwarzenegger, when he was out of competition shape, but you're actually bigger, right? Because you have a little bit more body fat. He had 23-inch biceps. Dude, I'm 6'3", 250, and I have like 17-inch biceps, and my friends who lift a lot are like, John, you've got big arms. So like Schwarzenegger had 23s. This guy, he probably had like 16s. So his arm is like literally, it's like a small pizza next to a large pizza if you're looking at the cross section of their arms.
Like
it doesn't make sense that this guy is overpowering Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Like maybe he has like less muscle, so less lactic acid buildup, so he has more cardio. But
I'm saying,
but there's scenes where he's taking Arnold and like pushing him back, and you're like, what is happening? What? Like, he just killed 300, you know, henchmen, and now he's wrestling with some flabby Australian. So he's my
Maybe he's tired. Yeah, he's tired. It's like, look, if someone went 12 rounds in UFC or 12 rounds in boxing, yeah, right? After that, you got a much better shot at him than you did at round one. So
yeah, exactly.
All right, fine. Schwarzenegger was tired, and this sock filled with marshmallows with his stupid mustache and his mean guy glares. He had glares. You know what they looked like? It looked like an unconvincing version of a Stacy Keach glare.
Yeah,
like I can't explain. Like when he would like just look at you, like he was just sneering. That's what I think of. I think of like if Stacy wasn't good at giving sneers, he looked like this guy.
Yeah. So I like it. We got Boba Fett. Who would win, Boba Fett or Bennett?
Oh, God, man. I mean, if you just put him in a ring. Like, if you put him in Thunderdome, I actually think Bennett might win.
Yeah, I do too. Because he was like, even after Arnold boxed 12 rounds, he was still kind of overpowering him. And Boba is just so slow and unwieldy.
But if they started a whole, like, solar system away from each other, then I'd like to think that Boba Fett would get the upper hand.
I like it. So it's basically a draw.
Sure, yeah. It was a conditional draw.
There we go.
Conditional draw.
All right, so in the words of John Lazarevath, John, I think you have the topic tonight.
I do. I do, in fact. And so it's been a while since we talked about a whole bunch of movie trailers. It's probably been a few months. I think we last did this around October or so. I figured that I'd get a bunch of trailers, or we would get a bunch of trailers for movies coming out in the next few months. So we could look forward to them for – I'm going more with genre movies this time. Things like dark superheroes, fantasy movies, a little bit of horror, edgy things. And what we're going to do is we watched all these trailers ahead of time, and we're going to give you our take on what's going to be good or bad about these movies. Now, my first pick was World of Warcraft. Mark, did you see the trailers?
I did. And let me tell you, I love this director first and foremost. He directed Moon and Source Code, which I think are brilliant 21st century science fiction films. I think they're warm. They have personality. They're expertly done. So I was really worried when I heard he was going to be taking over this movie because it just seemed like a great director was being taken away from original work or just interesting work. But since I watched the trailer, the one thing I'm certain about is it's going to look beautiful. But after watching the trailer, I feel like I've seen it 100 times before. Like I've seen all of this before.
So when I saw the trailer and from the opening scene and all the trailers, there's like 3 trailers out there. They all start with this like huge fantasy scape. And I immediately thought of 2 things. One, he's trying to do the Lord of the Rings Hobbit.
Yeah.
And 2, the effects are not of that caliber. The effects smack more of the video game.
No, actually, from what I'm hearing is this is going to be like some of the best special effects you've ever seen. So
doesn't
maybe,
look like it in the trailer.
Yeah, I mean that like that's like it's kind of bad though because that's what they're promoting now. And I was watching this and it looks like there's no joy in this world. You know what I mean? It's like in Lord of the Rings there was joy. In Star Wars there was humor. In Willow there was humor. This movie just looks very like I love the cast. I think Travis Fimmel from Vikings or Ragnar Lothbrok, I like him, Paula Patton. But it just looks sort of I'm gonna watch it. I think the special effects are gonna be great, but I don't know. I guess we'll have to save our things, but there's a couple of thoughts I had. This one human is like, the orcs are beasts and they should all be destroyed. I'm like, how? You watch the battle scenes and the orcs are running through humans like, like the guys from Wrath of Titans.
These orcs are basically like 8 feet tall, 9 feet tall, yeah. And 800 pounds. They're like Hulk.
And then, and then there's the scene where the humans literally charge into an army of orcs. Who are like 8 feet tall, like you said, look like Incredible Hulks. And I'm like, they're not going to win this. Pull up Braveheart. You know, like, do a 300. You're not – and then, like, you know, obviously what's going to happen is they're going to do a stupid attack and they're all going to die. And then they're going to team up the ogres, go into a secret lair, drop a ring down a lava volcano.
Well, so there are a few different trailers out, and one of the newer trailers depicts what I will call good orcs.
Oh, yeah, there's good orcs, but then there's bad orcs. And then it's like, so they got to team up with the orcs. But then people don't want to team up with the orcs.
What I think is that it's like, it's almost like they're pulling a Game of Thrones where like some of the wildlings want to join with people of the South. And then there are these other orc tribes that are like, bullshit, you're all traitors. We'll kill you with those people of the South, with the humans. And so it seems like they're doing that, but they're doing it for a reason. They're doing it to team up against a common enemy. And what do we not see in the trailer? We don't see any undead.
Yeah.
And so I have a feel it's or what is it? Night elves that are in there. So like I think that they're going to all end up teaming up against a third species, race, whatever it is in this. But you know, I'll say that one thing that I really liked about this is that, one, we don't see who they're teaming up against, even though we can all get a pretty good idea of what it probably will be. But we don't see that yet. And the other thing is how they humanized those sympathetic ogres in the beginning. Like, you know, they pulled kind of like a Rise of Planet of the Apes with the baby ape or the baby orc in the father's hand. And he's saying, like, we need to do this for our future and, you know – and then he's kind of fighting the other orcs. So, they're trying to make it a little more substantial than video game on film.
That's, yeah, I think Duncan Jones will excel at that. And he did cast Ben Foster and Toby Kebbell to be two of the orcs. And they're great actors, even though it's mocap.
Ben Foster?
Yeah. And so, I mean, I like these guys. And whatever they emote, I think will be very well done. The one thing I'm just worried – and movies – I'm not saying movies need joy. But this movie, it doesn't look like it's trying to set itself apart. Does that make sense? Like,
that's totally fair.
There we go. Like, I have faith in Duncan Jones, but I haven't seen anything that would make it's gonna. I think it's gonna bomb because what is drawing audiences into this?
They play World of Warcraft, or they're Lord of the Rings fans. I think we'll get both of those draws.
I just hope it doesn't end up like John Carter, like movies that are actually pretty good, but just no one watches because they think they're bad.
I have a question. You referenced that this is supposed to be some of the best special effects ever. Yeah. And the HD trailers that I saw, I honestly thought these effects were vastly inferior to Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit movies. So is it I don't know a lot about the production, but could I be looking at what I'll call unfinished product?
I mean, let me see when it's coming out. Yeah, well, it's coming out in. When's it being released? I'm at IMDb right now. 2016. Oh, so it's coming out in June. So I bet you they're still tinkering with it.
Okay. Because the best way to put it is that in Lord of the Rings, you know what is and isn't CGI. But if you showed it to someone from the 1950s, they wouldn't understand that it was CGI. They'd think it was real. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't seem like a human over top of a cartoon that was done very well. Whereas in this trailer, it was very obvious the things that were and weren't CGI, including the castles, the everything. It really struck me right away. But I'm optimistic. I'm going to see it. I'm excited to see it. And I love seeing really big, hulky things mowing through people. And I think it's pretty cool. But this is why I said I think this is my fear that this is going to be one of those movies that is bad, but I'm going to see anyway. But I hope it's good.
I got faith in DJ, man. I think Duncan Jones is going to do it. David Bowie's kid is going to crush it, hopefully.
All right. The second movie has just done its run at film festivals. It's called Cherry Tree. It's an independent Irish horror film, and it's from people who actually had a pretty good entrance into the horror film scene from years earlier. And so it's kind of shocking that this movie isn't doing so well. But I saw this trailer for Cherry Tree. And Cherry Tree, it's a more obscure movie. It's basically about a girl with an infirmed father. He has a terminal condition. She wants to try and save him, but obviously there's nothing she can do. She's a high schooler. She gets approached by her field hockey or soccer coach, who turns out to be a witch in some coven, who offers that if she gives her first child, and therefore she has to get pregnant and have a child, that in response she will give her father life. And of course it goes into something, who knows, maybe some demon is the child or the Antichrist or something or other, and there's centipedes all over the trailer and some weird monsters in the trailer. But I think the trailer looked really cool. I thought this movie looked awesome based on the trailer. Not that we haven't been fooled over and over again. What were your impressions of this trailer for Cherry Tree?
I'm going to let you watch it and review it.
You didn't from the trailer. You wouldn't think
no,
it was.
It all looks so gray and drab. And I was reading this. It's like instead of developing a believable story or characters that behave in recognizably human ways, it tries to buy off the audiences with images of bare breasts, creepy insects, and lots of graphic, gory body horror. And I guess when I was watching it, I was just like, I kept seeing this like archaic witch covens and like the stock witch stuff. And then the main character girl was just kind of like September 6th. Wait, June 6th, 1966, 666.
It's like your Diary of the Dead.
Yeah, it's like, and then she's like, and then there's this lady who's like, yeah, I'll save your father, but you got to give me a kid. It's like, yo, no, like don't do that. Just, I get you want to save your father, but like, just don't trust these witch covens, and it's just like art house witches, and it's all very gray, and you see these a lot in some of these films. It's just very, it just looks all, I'm gonna let you review it. It's just like they go into this little witch coven area. It like looks like it was built by like Witch 101 production designers, you know, and like it's just like, hey man, why don't you just give them a loft? You know, they can do their witch stuff in lofts. Like, I don't know. And it just seemed all, I guess when she was, it's just, my father's dying. This witch lady's like, hey, if you have a kid, I'll save your father. And then there's this witch coven, and then the centipede rolls out of my belly button. Like, I'd be freaking out.
There were so many centipedes in this show, by the way. They were like, you know those giant centipedes that were crawling over Indiana Jones and the woman in Temple of Doom? Like, there must have been 20 of those centipedes just in the trailer.
Yeah, I wanted to be like Jerry Seinfeld. Like, why are there so many centipedes? And I mean, I didn't hear any squishy noises. Maybe at the trailer you saw the centipedes are getting squishies, so squish, so you like that. But, I mean, I get it. Like, the trailer, I think whatever the budget is, I think they did it. I always appreciate independent horror because they do a lot with a little. This is a little film that's making the rounds, it's making press. And so I really respect that these people are creating. But for me, once again, it's just like it didn't have any life to it. It just didn't – I don't know. Like, I watched that last Witch Hunter, and at least, like, it was a Vin Diesel – total vanity project, and it had like a personality to it. So this one just kind of seemed, I don't know. It just didn't seem, I don't know.
So I actually read five more professional sided reviews, like Cineview, Dread Central, Twitch, etc. People who have folks at these, you know, Fantasia film festivals and everything. And I read all the reviews. Now Twitch was the meanest. You guys can find it yourself. There were most of these reviews scathing, like just skin flaying would be polite. But the most unscathing review I could find was this one by Dread Central. Compared to the well-balanced creeping horror of Wakewood, which, by the way, is the movie that got these filmmakers on the map.
Yeah, 81%. Like,
right.
Yeah.
After that, this movie, however, is amateur hour in the extreme. If there's anything positive to be said, Cherry Tree does bust out some rather impressive physical effects that work on occasion, but the lack of sexualization of the coven is a nice touch. However, the film carries on capably and manages not to embarrass the filmmakers completely amidst the torrential nonsense. Because all the other reviews, by the way, are referring to how they lay down this web of plot that basically strangles itself in silliness. Like, it's just it's almost like a movie where the bad things happen more by chance than by setup. So there's no real thought that goes into this plot and making this plot happen. It's
and then
really, yeah. There's a lot of that screwism. Again, I think that the creature effects look really, really cool. It makes me think of like an evil mirror mask. Actually, the way these witches evidently look later in the movie, you get a glimpse in the trailer. So whatever, I'm gonna see it anyway, and I'm gonna like the effects and. I'll write a bad review.
If I was the director, I would want to punch me in the face right now because I'm speaking up the trailer. But it all just felt very A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, 666.
L, M, N, O, P all over this.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, but I'm happy that, like, Sting, I'm happy that he's still making music, and I'm happy that these guys are making movies.
All right. Well, so we've done video game fantasy. We've done obscure indie Irish witch horror. Let's move on to something happy. Kung Fu Panda 3. Immediate reaction. If you could give one word.
Master Chicken.
Oh, my God. That was great.
Yeah. Look,
Master Chicken is going into the lair, and he's a chicken.
And then they cut to a chicken. He goes, bah! And like little knives come out of his little.
And you hear the sound of like a sharpened blade when he straightens out his little wings.
And then also, I could listen to Dustin Hoffman be an animated character all day. I think he's perfect in these movies. And I like the fact that it went from student to kind of warrior to teacher. That's a natural, that's an organic progression for me. It's a simple idea, but if you're going to make a third film, you know, make it an organic progression. And I did feel that. And you know what's crazy? I felt bad for his dad. What's his dad's name in Kung Fu Panda 3? Oh, man. But the bird, his dad, Po's dad. Like, I just felt terrible for him.
That's guy who played Lo Pan.
Yeah. And he used to come to the Comic-Cons and dance. He used to come to the Comic-Cons and, like, dance around. And we had to fix his booth every time so he could be out and talk to everybody. But, no, like, James Hong is Mr. Ping. He's Poe's dad. And I'm like, I don't want any stupid panda intruders taking Poe away from his dad. Like, I'm getting mad. I like that the villain doesn't seem like they're keeping things away, obviously, but the villain doesn't seem high stakes. It seems more of like a movie about just these characters learning and growing. I don't know. I like these movies. I think they're visually inventive. I think they're fun. I think Kara goes into DreamWorks Animation, and Jack Black loves Poe. Like, and these act, you know, I think it's a movie. These movies are told with love, and you can see that.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. And they had a lot of nuance. Like, the original Pixar films were just loaded with nuance. Not so much anymore, but, you know, like when the goose dad gets scared, he lays a pile of eggs that elevate him off the ground, even though it's a him and he's laying eggs. We'll ignore that. It was really cute, you know. There's one of the trailers where he's using miniatures to show war strategy. But he's using food items to like a pea or like a little carrot or a dumpling. It was a dumpling, and the baby pandas, the little kid pandas, that Jack Black. The screen cuts from him putting the dumpling there to like talking to the audience about their strategy. He looks back down. You just see a little kid panda chewing, and then he keeps doing it, and the kids keep eating it. Like, it was really cute. Like, the kid pandas are adorable. Little old lady pandas, cute. He's teaching the panda village how to fight, and the first thing I thought of was "Ha, Hu, He, Ha" from Army of Darkness. When they all knock you, like, it seems like there's a lot of love that went into this. I really hope that it doesn't turn into a Shrek 3.
Shrek 2 was good.
Yeah, Shrek 2 was great. Shrek 3 was garbage, though. So it's like, I'm really optimistic about this, though, and I think you're right. You know, I never really thought of it this way, but I think Jack Black does love this character, and I feel like every line I heard Poe utter was like a real line. It never felt like filler. It was all nice. Remember when they were making fun of the cliche of villains that talk too much?
Yeah, chit-chat, chit-chat.
Yeah, the bad guy keeps trying to say like the horrible things he's going to do to him and his village. Chit-chat. He just keeps interrupting him and just belittling him, and I think that this looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. And then there is a scene where he's like bouncing, he's kicking something around, and he kicks something like 50 yards in the air and he knocks an old lady panda out.
I'm okay.
So, no, it's fun. I think, you know, he meets up with his parents. He learns that he's a panda, but he better go back to Lee, you know, or no, I'm sorry, Mr. Ping, you know, but I don't know. I hope that his parents aren't like jerks. I hope his dad panda's not like a compulsive gambler who's just trying to use his son.
Like the dad and the water boy.
Yeah, I just hope he's just like a nice panda who wants to meet his son. So that's what I hope. It's fun, and I think the trailers. There's been a few. I think they're keeping a lot of the story out too, which I like.
Well, yeah, because we never really see all those pandas that he's training fighting anything, do we? Because I saw two trailers. I didn't see any of that.
Yeah, so it's kind of keeping. It's giving us enough. And, like, there are some trailers that give you absolutely nothing. And then there's trailers that give away too much. I think this is doing a good job for a trailer. And, I mean, I love the second one, so I'm looking forward to it. We need a How to Train Your Dragon 3 now. I love those movies.
I still haven't seen either of them.
Oh, they're beautiful, dude. Oh, I love them.
But, all right, now let's take it back to the scary side because, well, I like horror movies. Next movie is The Boy, in which Maggie from The Walking Dead is hired as a nanny to watch an elderly couple's doll child that they treat as a regular child and never ever acknowledge that it's anything but a real child.
All right, one thought, just leave the house. Two thoughts.
No, but she is hired. She was hired as the nanny. Oh, she wants the money.
You don't need the money that bad. If there's a demented doll, like, listen, I need this $100 a day.
By then, maybe she was too deep. But, well, we don't know this. Now, but maybe somehow in the movie, like, the doors were shut, locked.
And she just can't leave?
Maybe. I don't know. So, but I'm going to say that, like, when I read the premise and I saw like just the 20-second teasers months ago for this movie, The Boy, I was just thinking, oh, it's Annabelle with Maggie from The Walking Dead. But then I saw the whole trailer, and again, you know, trailers can fool us, but I kind of like the premise. The premise really begets itself to creepiness. Like they have the, it's almost like The Visit, where it's follow the rules. Like this little doll has rules and you have to follow them. And if you treat him well, everything will be fine. But if you don't treat Brahm by the Brahms, what a weird name. That sounds like the name of a devil from Revelations. But Brahms the doll will evidently do bad things to you if you don't follow the rules and feed him and read him stories. And I don't know. What do you think? Do you think this is going to be good? What do you think of this?
No, I think I'm not going to watch this.
Because, you're not going to watch it at all?
Because here's the deal. She goes to this house, right? It's basically Gremlins with a doll. Like, they give her all these rules. Don't feed the doll. Make sure to feed the doll. You know, don't cover his head. You know, all these Gremlin rules, right? She's the nanny, and she immediately goes, nope. So she disappears, and then things go really bad, and then she doesn't run. So for me, like, the descent, they literally can't go. I keep saying literally a lot. Well, they literally can't, but they can't go anywhere. They're stuck. Like Insidious, they move. Drag Me to Hell, the girl has a curse. These are all people plagued with this. This lady breaks the rules. She doesn't feed the gremlin, and then the gremlin gets her. And it's like they explained all the backstory. He's some kid who murdered somebody. He stayed around. He got burned to death. And it's just like it's all her fault. So it's like I have a hard time getting behind that because it's just like she has a tank top. And if you guys read movies from the flicks, I have a tank top horror post. It's one of these horror movies that like really good actresses end up in. Pretty much all of them. Jessica Chastain.
From Mama,
Jennifer,
right?
Lawrence. Yeah, like Kristen Stewart. Elizabeth Olsen. I mean, they all end up in tank top horror films that don't do
Jessica
that.
Biel.
Yeah, Jessica Biel. Like they're all in tank. This is her tank top horror that she just has to get through. Like it's so, her. It's Dolph Lundgren's Punisher movie that he just had to survive. Like
I've got this weird thought, and so I thought this at for Krampus, and then in A Christmas Horror Story, that horror anthology, there was also a Krampus in that, in addition to the Krampus movie. And in both of these movies, an old woman knows about Krampus. And in both of these movies, her younger family members do, because it's a great aunt, basically a grandmother in A Christmas Horror Story, and a grandmother in Krampus. And so in both of these movies, they know about it. In both of these movies, their offsprings, their younger family members do something that will summon the Krampus. And in both of these movies, they don't explain what's happening. Yeah. So for some reason, right, this old couple, they're not insane. They might be driven a little to the edge, these people who are the parents of this Brahms doll, right? But and they live by these rules, but they're not insane, I don't think. So even though they're saying these are the rules, I'm pretending he's a child, when they walk her to the front door, why don't they just whisper like, look, I realize that you think we're crazy. Just please follow the rules. We believe there's a demon inside. You might not believe me, but just follow the rules. Just follow the rules. If bad things starts happening, you've got to go back to the rules. Like, you know, they clearly don't try to explain things, because in the trailer you later see she gets one of her friends. Like, she's talking to her friend about it and how she doesn't understand.
Have you seen that?
Why are these rules a secret?
Have you seen that commercial where these grandparents come to visit their kids, and then their kids dump the babies off with the grandpa and grandparents and run off on vacation? And the grandpa's running after them going, the kids, like, because they have to babysit them for 2 weeks. I feel like that's what they did. Like, hey, we're going to bring in this woman to watch our homicidal child doll. We're going to act weird, and then we're going to leave and give her rules and not explain it. And like, yeah. And then it's the opposite of that trailer for the forest that's coming out, tank top film, where she goes to look for her sister in Japan, the suicide forest. But everyone's like, do not leave the path. Do not go out here. Do not do this. Stay away. And she's like, no, I'm going to go because I got to find my sister. Like, it's the two opposite tank top horror films. One, no one gives her information. The other one, people are telling her, like, you got to go. So like, I wasn't down for either of them. I don't know. It's just, it's her fault. She didn't follow the rules. Like, I love movies where it's just like, it's not their fault. This is her fault.
Yeah, it would be nice if somehow, like, she was forced by circumstance not to follow the rules. But in the trailer, like, you even see her just dumping a bunch of food or something, and so you know that she didn't feed him, I guess.
Yeah.
Like it's like she's just like, screw these stupid rules. I don't know. Yeah.
On Gremlins, it was an accident. You know, like maybe how about this? Like, let's say she goes out to get some stuff from town, right? And then she drives home and her car blows a tire, and so she can't follow some of the rules. So when she comes home, the kid is pissed.
Right, yeah. Like, if he's supposed to always eat at 6:30 sharp and she gets home at, like, 7:15.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, then that, like, it's not her fault. And then have, like, a one night only her surviving this kid. I feel like in this story, she's staying there for, like, 2 weeks. And she's like, this kid just keeps moving. I would run. If I didn't have a car, if I had one leg, I would hop.
That's right, because there's that scene where she turns her back and the kid's in the dining room and she's in the kitchen and then the doll's gone. That's where you go.
I'm done. I'm gone. I'm out.
That's where you go. She's, oh, where is this doll? I'm going to go find this doll.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how it moved, but I'm going to go find it anyway.
I would pull like the Doctor Who and just run away. Like, it just doesn't I don't know. It's her fault. It's and then, like, you know, the forest, this movie come out, the forest and this one, like, they both have like those shower scenes where there are people, you know, people being weird and there's evil kids and
got to have a shower scene.
You know what's funny? On my notes, I wrote, okay, Lauren Cohen, she's great. But then I wrote yuck. And then I wrote, he is like a gremlin. Then I put shower. And then I'm like, why don't you just take care of it? Then I put leave with exclamation marks. Then I put tank top. And then my final thing I wrote for the boy is fart. That was my notes for the boy trailer.
All I wrote was, nanny for an evil doll with an evil name looks better than Annabelle.
Well, anything's better than Annabelle.
Or so we hope.
Yeah.
We hope this is better than Annabelle. Because I'm gonna see this either way. So let's just hope for my sake.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but this is good. We're bagging on it, so it could be good.
All right. Let's go to something a little more fantastic here. There is a movie that that in the past year was breaking all sorts of box office records in China. It's this partially CGI, partial real action adventure movie about monsters, and it's called Monster Hunt. I had never heard of this. Evidently, it's about some prophesied king of the monsters, but like a good king, not like an evil king of monsters. And this Asian couple come across it in the most awkward way and must protect it and see it to its destiny. Yep. And again, this all sorts of
yeah, crazy Chinese records, man. It broke all the records in China.
Now, I saw this trailer. I wasn't super impressed, but I'm intrigued to see it. What was your impression, Mark?
Like, this trailer tells you nothing, and it just shows you a lot. And you know, they could have added like some subtitles or some little moments, but I had no idea. It kind of annoyed me, and it looked like the monsters were very. It was interesting. There's some very like childish looking monsters done really well with CGI, right? And then it looks like a neat story and it looks kind of madcap, but they didn't show you. You don't understand anything about this movie. I think there's a guy who a guy meets a woman, they have a baby maybe, and then there's monster hating humans and monsters attempting, but like that was it. Like it just it was a weird – it just felt like a – like as a trailer, it's just a bunch of images flashing in front of you. It's like Clockwork Orange watching all those images. But I mean I think it looks fun. I would love to rent this. I mean anytime – you know, we were talking about this before with like Korean movies and we couldn't think of the name of them, Japanese movies and or like anything like, you know, Greek movies, whatever I – the in-betweeners from the UK. I love watching these movies that break – you know, international box office records. I like to know, like Taiga G broke the Korean box office and I wanted to watch it. You know, I want to know what's popular around the world. So I'm definitely going to watch it, but I just don't, it just seems, I don't know. The trailer shows you nothing.
So I found two different trailers. They both had subtitles. By the way, I still don't know.
Yeah.
Anything more than I indicated in the beginning. And what I indicated, what I thought about the plot was based on the images that I saw, not on the – because they did mention at some point that he's going to be the king, this little cute monster. And but that's all I got. That's the only plot element that I got. And by the way, you said they have this child. This movie is very awkward. I did some reading, and I had some Reddit discussions about it. People were pointing out a lot of very awkward things in this movie. For instance, in this young Chinese couple that have this child that turns out to be the future prophesied monster king, the man has the child.
Yeah, I saw that. He's kind of rolled out.
And then later, he's holding the child, and he's wearing, you know, one of those kind of like mountain villager kind of robe outfits that you'd see in The Last Samurai. And it sees his nipple, and it goes for his nipple to rescue. I mean, and don't remember, these are playful, entertaining scenes. Yeah. I think they're entertaining, but I think that to general audiences, this is awkward. I mean, I will laugh. I think a lot of people won't really know how to react to scenes like this. And you got to wonder, are those the only scenes like that? Or are there other awkward scenes in this movie? I don't know.
And then this is going to sound weird, but the little monster, I know I keep talking about Doctor Who, but it looks like adipose, this little fat monster, became a chia pet. Like, that's what this little thing, it's like a big blobby thing with green hair. But I don't know, man, like, people love it. I mean, I want to see it. Like, let's see some imagination. Let's see some new, I would love for more of these movies. I know in China this year, I need to watch it, but there's a movie with Jackie Chan, John Cusack, and Adrian Brody. It's like a Dragon Emperor or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I'm excited to see that
too. Yeah, like, I love that the world cinema is expanding and getting bigger budgets. But if I had to rate this trailer, I would give it an F. Because it's just a bunch of images kind of beaming at you. But whatever.
I give it a C+. You're not going to get grounded for a month over this trailer, but it's nothing to brag about.
I feel like such a grump, but like, I guess I'm kind of bad, but I don't know.
Here's the other thing. If I didn't know that this movie was so popular in China, if I didn't have that hype that made me excited to see it, maybe I'd give it a C- or.
Yeah.
Like, that's the, because I am riding that wave of excitement, and that's also why I picked this trailer to discuss.
So it's Dragon Blade, one of the most expensive films ever produced in China. The historical action epic Dragon Blade takes place during the Han Dynasty, and it's about Jackie Chan teaming up with John Cusack to battle Adrian Brody. Oh my gosh.
So are John Cusack and Adrian Brody playing Asians?
No, they're not. It's a Roman guy. John Cusack's Roman, and then Adrian Brody is Tiberius. So
okay, good. Thank God. I thought they might have been like Mongols or something. Or
I think they're trying to appeal to. I'm looking actually. I like that I feel like they're trying to appeal to Western audiences by having John Cusack and Adrian Brody. I'd rather just see like a big epic, you know, with all Chinese actors. You know what I mean?
Like do more of a Red Cliff fantasy.
Yeah. Like I'd rather, see something like that. I don't know. Kind of like Crouching Tiger. You know, that's Japanese, but
That's Chinese.
Oh yeah, it is Chinese, yeah, you're right. And like I would love something like that. Like I think you don't need to pander to the audiences, but
I didn't pick the trailer, but there is, over a decade later, there is going to be released this year the Crouching Tiger Hidden Dragon sequel.
Can't wait.
I hope they don't fly as much, but oh well. We're not discussing. We'll discuss that probably another point. Introing another pod.
Let me get something out there. I feel like I'm being too critical of these movies, and I hate being that guy that just sits there and being all grumpy and critical. I mean, I watch every type of thing, so I mean, I love these movies. I'm going to watch these movies. I guess I just add a healthy dose of cynicism to them. But
I see kind of John Stocktoning me right now because I'm going to give you the movie that you can be optimistic about. Let's talk about the trailers for Deadpool.
The latest one was by 100% better than the other ones.
This trailer, you mean?
The newest one. Yeah, the newest one is 100% better.
Oh, the new Red Band.
Yeah. It's 190% better.
But even the other ones had me really excited.
Did it have you excited because you are a Ryan Reynolds fan, or did it have you excited because it looked great?
Well, I'm a Ryan Reynolds fan, and I've always been a Deadpool fan.
Oh, okay.
So that's what had me excited. And it's got a hard R rating, and that has me excited. And it's got Ryan Reynolds basically being himself while being Deadpool, which I think is perfect. I mean, I love the dialogue, the behavior that you see, like in the taxi cab scene with the taxi cab driver, where he's interacting. Like, that could have just as well been Ryan Reynolds' character from Buying the Cow, from Van Wilder, from Waiting, from, you know, Just Friends. Like, that is simply Ryan Reynolds, who happens to be wearing a Deadpool suit, but it works. And because of that, yeah, and yes, I'm a huge Ryan Reynolds fan. He's like my bro crush for the ages. But like, I feel like this really works.
But this preview added a lot more, like it added more character beats, because in the first one, it's all Deadpool with a little TJ Miller kind of improv-ing. But this one added Colossus. It had more Gina Carano. It had more Ed Skrein. It had I need to look up her name right now, but the girl who was texting on her phone, like it added, like it seemed to be building a world. And I liked the world building of this trailer more than the first one. The first one just seemed kind of like fan service, which is fine because they're the people that got this movie made. But story wise, I think this latest trailer really kind of worked for me.
And even though they're not forcing it down our throats like Dawn of Justice or a lot of the Marvel movies with new characters, you know, Colossus is in this. They reference the X-Men. I have a feeling that's really all we get is the presence of Colossus and these other more obscure characters, Angel Dust and the girl. I can't think of her name. Copycat. But either way, you know, it's just a handful of characters that we're seeing.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool. And I mean, I'll say that the special effects for Colossus weren't great, but this is a hard R superhero movie. This doesn't have a $300 million budget.
Yeah.
So totally forgivable. But oh man, can we just – so I know that we're only going to get to see like one version of it, but across the trailers – across the Red Band trailers, and they released like three of them, there are like four different comments between Ryan Reynolds and TJ Miller describing what Ryan Reynolds' face looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And like they're – I mean, in the, again, in the movie, there's probably only going to be one or two. But they're saying like – it's like you look like Freddy Krueger face effed a topographical map of Utah, or you look like an avocado had sex with an even older avocado. I love these lines that clearly the script just said Ryan Reynolds and TJ Miller go back and forth saying things about what he looks like.
And I feel like Reynolds is finally able to own this character too. I feel like in his prior films with, you know, he didn't have enough screen time in X-Men Origins, Blade Trinity, he was kind of like he never got a chance to really own that because he just wasn't – he was good, but he was Ryan Reynolds. And then in Green Lantern, that was so bland and just kind of shoehorned in. But I feel like this is a character that he's happily owning. Like there's no self-consciousness. There's no – like this is a movie that he was kind of born to play. But I don't know. After watching Mississippi Grind, like I'm stoked to see what he does. And I like the scene with Colossus though where Gina Carano, Angel Dust, just levels Colossus. That was awesome. And then the one girl was texting on her phone that she just drilled Gina Carano.
I think she's copycat.
Copycat. I just love that. Like, I thought it was like, I know it gave the world a personality. Like when I first saw Deadpool, I was like, oh no, it's just going to be like this. It's all him. But I like that they're building a world around him. And I think that's more successful to building a larger world, which I hope they don't do with like Batman. Like I hope they do the X-Men thing where like X-Men's pretty small. X-Men 2 gets a little bigger with Stryker and all that. Like I hope they kind of build slowly this world and not just like, you know, Superman versus Batman and then boom, everybody else. So
I'd love it if they introduced Cable, or if an X-Men movie introduces Cable, and then they build towards the Deadpool and Cable plotline of them having to go to the future and kind of save the world from Apocalypse.
Well, that could be like the third one.
Do we need to go to –
I guess every movie goes to Apocalypse. Like X-Men The Last Stand is the third one. Like they're always – I guess every – I would prefer this if this stayed just like local. If it became like the Portland of superhero movies.
And you mentioned Mississippi Grind, and you know, we're coming towards the end of the episode, and I'm a super fan of Ryan Reynolds. Would you mind giving our audience just a couple sentences about what that movie is about and what your impressions were of the plot of the trailer?
What I liked most about it is it's kind of like beautifully American. It doesn't idealize anything. It travels through, you know, Mississippi, Iowa, the Midwestern states. You know, they go drive all the way down to New Orleans. But it's never glamorized, and it's never – it's not easy, and it's not – you don't know where it's going. I sat there at the end and I almost turned it off because, like, I don't want to know where this goes. Like, I don't want to see this. And then, like, it does something else. And I just think it's such like a – it's just good. Ben Mendelsohn, after, like, Slow West, Animal Kingdom, Bloodlines, Killing Them Softly, he's one of the best actors out. He's, like, the best weasel on the planet. And in this one, he's like Walton Goggins, where he can play a total dirtbag, but you like him. And I just – think that Ryan Reynolds was they had great chemistry. Ryan Reynolds played a character that really works. In the beginning, you're like, why is Ryan Reynolds in an Iowa casino in the middle of nowhere? But then you learn his character and you get the beats. And by the end of it, you're kind of all in. And I don't know, it's good. He's really good. I feel like some of Reynolds' kind of dramatic roles have been a little forced, like Selfless. There's no point for that movie. But I think this was good. I mean, it was a good movie. So if you want to, like, if you're a Ryan Reynolds skeptic, I would watch this movie and then also just become aware of Ben Mendelsohn.
And if you're on Amazon Prime, you can watch Mississippi Grind for free on their streaming service right now.
That's right. That's right. And you can
watch, which I might do after this pod, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's good, dude. It's a good movie. It is a, yeah, I, nah, you will, it's like 90% of Rotten Tomatoes. I got nominated for some Independent Spirit Awards. It's good. It has a heart. The people who did it directed a Half Nelson, which is also a really good movie. They're good at capturing like three-dimensional people, something different.
Well, you know, I feel like this brings us to the end of a very successful podcast where people now know what they should and shouldn't see in the first quarter of 2016. And we've already given some pretty solid plugs to Ryan Reynolds, but, I don't know. Do we have any other final thoughts or any other final promotions we need to make?
Well, what movies are you looking forward to in 2016? Like, what's like a movie you're looking forward to seeing?
Boy, you know, it's like I'm afraid to see X-Men Apocalypse. I got to be honest. I mean, I'm excited to go see it, but I'm afraid to see it. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny. I'm just thrilled to see that.
I want to see Goon, The Last of the Enforcers. That's the sequel to Goon.
That title makes it sound like a fantasy epic.
But if you think about it, like with all the concussions now, like it's kind of becoming less popular. I'm looking forward to that because I love the first Goon. And I can't wait to watch Jeff Nichols, who's like one of my favorite directors. He has a new movie coming out. And Midnight Run? I can't wait to watch that. I think he's just a great, 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 great director. And everybody I like is in Midnight Special. I'm sorry. And like just has a great cast. So I'm looking forward to Midnight Special and Goon 2. Those are the two movies I want to see.
Cool. Yeah. And, oh gosh, you know, I'm excited to see, Undisputed 3 or Undisputed 4. Scott Adkins. We can't mention Scott Adkins enough. He kind of crept up in the middle of our podcasting career, and he keeps he might be the Kurt Russell of the 2020s decade.
Yeah, no, you're right. We got our big 50th coming up soon. You guys are gonna love that. But cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. Stay tuned for next week. And John, you got any plugs?
You know what? Just. Our hearts go out to the people of Shark Dropper who are a little sick right now. We hope they get well so that they can come back and help us with yet another person throwing their banter into the mix. You should look for us on Twitter. We're at Movies Films Flicks with an X and at MFF Horror Corner. That's MFF as in Movies Films and Flicks. And you can look for Shark Dropper 2 on Twitter. They've got a long line of podcasts, but we like to think that we're the special one.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much and have a good night. Kurt Russell.
Good night.
Above the target. T-minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark! Go! Go! Go!
This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.